This is Daf Nun Zayin. So we got to the end of Nun Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes today from the Mishnah, the last two lines. It quotes that Shlosha Achim ve'Echa Mitztarifim Ahem. If you have three brothers, each brother was for a different year, so they were not really, there's no issue of a psul karov there. And then there's one guy, Reuven, let's call him, who testified about all 3 years. He has separate edios with each brother. That's considered a hare elu shalosh edios. There's a three separate edios and good. V'hein edos achas lahazama. But in order to have hazama, all four edim need to be caught as part of this conspiracy in order to have the din of edim zomim to pay the punishment. So Gemara now says on the top of Nun Zayin Amun Aleph, Hahu shtara tavichasime ale beitre. So you have a shtar that two people signed off, two edim. And now what happens is before you're Mekayim the Shtar, if the Shtar is Mekayim, so we don't care if the Edom died, as long as there's the henpik of some sort, Bezdin gives his approval, this is a good Shtar. But before they're able to do Mekayim the Shtar, Shachiv Chad Minai, one of the Edom died. So now there are a few ways you can be Mekayim the Shtar. The simplest way is if a person could say, this is my signature, and this is my signature, each person says, it's their signature, so that's a one quick way to be Mekayim the Shtar, but now one of them is dead, so you obviously can't do that. So what do? So asa achua dehai dekai. So the brother of the guy who's alive. So the guy who's alive, he could testify that this is his signature. So that covers one. Now the other signature of the dead person. So the brother of the live aid. So that brother says v'chad achrinu, some other guy. So let's call Reuven's the brother and Shimon's the a third party guy. So Reuven and Shimon testify achri lasude achasimas yadea diidach. They testify now about the signature of the deceased. So Sava Ravina Lameima, Ravina initially wanted to say, Hainu Masnisin, Shlosha Achim Ve'echad Mitztarif Iman. That's good. Because the brother who's alive is testifying about his own signature, so that's good. And the other brother is testifying about a completely different signature. Yeah, they're related to each other, but he's testifying with some other person about the deceased person. So even though overall the shtar has Krovim testifying about the signatures, but they're still viewed as independent years, they're viewed as independent signatures, and therefore it should be good. So in light of this comes along Amr Le Rav Ashi, Midami, could you compare the cases of the 3 years Chazaka and this case of the Kiyum Shtar? Hasam, over there by the Shlosha Yashanim, Lo Nafik Nechiriva Dimamona Apuma Da'achi. So Nechir Riviyah means a less than a quarter, meaning in the positive, it's three quarters. You don't have that three quarters of the testimony comes from one person, meaning of half and half. You have three brothers, in the case of the Mishnah, three brothers, one in each year, and then you have one other guy. So it's called Reuven and then three brothers. So Reuven is testifying about half of the years, and then the three brothers combining to another half of the year. It's 50-50, it's weighed out very nicely. Why do they keep locking that door?
I don't know.
I thought they got rid of that. I guess not.
I guess not.
So, but when it comes to Hacha here, when it comes to the case of the signatures on the shtar, Hacha Nafik Nichi Riva Dimamona Apuma Da'achai. Here, a less than a fourth, meaning three quarters of the signatures of the money is coming about because of brothers. Because that's called brother one here is testifying by his own signature. So that's 50% of what's needed for the Kiyum Shtar. But then brother two, along with someone else, is testifying about the other signature. So now 75% of the Edus comes from a unit of brothers, and only 25% is coming from another party. So that's where we don't allow it. You can never have where one party or at least one entity is contributing more than 50% of the Edus. And that's why our case of the Shtars is disqualified and not comparable to the case of the three brothers of the Mishnah. Okay. Gemara now says the new Mishnah. Mishnah and Daf Nun Zayin. The Mishnah tells us now, Eilu Dvarim She'esh Lahem Chazaka. The following things have a Chazaka. Ve'ilu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Chazaka. And another list of things that do not have a Chazaka. So let's see. Haya Maimid Behema Bechatzer. A guy places an animal in a field. And Tanor Rechaim, a oven, a mill, the Kiraim, other types of ovens. Migdal Tarnagolim, a place raising chickens, and Anosin Zvala Bechatzer, he's putting the manure on the property. Ain't a chazaka. That's not considered a chazaka. And remember, the chazaka only works if it's something that the owner would be makpid on. He would otherwise kick you out. If he doesn't care, if you place your behemoth on my property, you have your dog walk my property, I don't mind. So the fact that he's there does not create a chazaka. It's only if something that would have bothered the owner and he would say something to you. So seemingly these things in the Mishnah don't really bother the the owner. Aval asa mechitza lebehemta, if you build a wall for the animal, gavo asar tvachim, 10 tvachim high, v'chein letanim, v'chein lekirayim, v'chein lemichayim, or you build it for each of these items, you build a fence, which is more kavua, or hichnis taragol metoch habayis, you bring it to the guy's house. And also makom lezvalo amuk shlosha, or you dig a ditch 3 tvachim deep where you're going to leave your manure there for a long period of time, o gavoa shlosha, or maybe a mound that's 3 tvachim high. All of these harei zu chazaka, all of these will establish a chazaka. So again, the principle is it going to bother the original owner or not? If it's not going to bother him, it can't serve as a chazaka. If it will bother him and he doesn't say anything, then it does serve as a chazaka. Now, yeah.
But isn't there different levels of tolerance? People have different tolerance levels. Some people, and we're saying, well, if it doesn't bother, we don't know. Some guys it would bother. Some
right.
People, if you look at them the wrong way,
that's correct. But when it comes to chazaka, we have this concept of kedemachske inche, what people in general, we look at an objective standpoint, what bothers people. So we always have the question of objective versus subjectivity, but many halachas we say, you can't, otherwise, ein ledavar sof. You know, it's a. So we have a somewhat of a set rules of what's considered a bothering stuff. Now this could change based on place and time, I would imagine also, but when this Mishnah was written, this is something that seemed, must have been pretty objective there. The way people normally would do this. Now the way the Rashbam understands this whole sugya, he kind of adds in here as well, there's an element of, there's a tikkun karka, because you go back to remember the sugyas of Noah God of Reparat, so you have to fix something, make a ditch, or you have to build a fence. It's also not simply about hakpada, it's also about doing some level of tikkun bekarka. That's what he says if you read through the Mishnah, his parish of the Mishnah here. Okay. So the Gemara now wants to know, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So I just presented to you what the difference is, but what's the difference? The Gemara wants to know, what's the difference, the Reisha, placing an animal, placing a ton of Rechaim and so on in the Karka, doesn't bother the guy, won't be a Chazaka, but in the Seifa, putting a field is considered a Chazaka. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula, Ula says, Kol She'ilu B'nichse Ager Kana, B'nichse Chaveir Kana. So we have to understand for a second. When the term nichse ger is being used versus nichse chaver, the different types of chazakas. Nichse ger, you're not buying from anybody. It's a property that became hefker. You need to do an initial maisa on that property. That's the maisa, that's a chazaka as the kinnin. As opposed to nichse chaver is if I buy an item, a property from you, and I lose a shar, then what creates a chazaka of gimel shanim? The nichse ger is referring to the maisa kinnin, nal gal de reparts. And Nichse Chaver is referring to the Shlosha Shanim Chazaka. So the Gemara again says, Amar Ula, Kol She'ilu B'Nichse Ager Kana, if it works to be Kona, this Hefka property, so then B'Nichse Chaver Kana, then it will work also to establish a 3-year-long Chazaka. But the inverse, Kol She'ilu B'Nichse Ager Lo Kana, then B'Nichse Chavero Lo Kana. So this is the Gemara's initial understanding that it's not going to work. And the reason is because Rashbam explained, because this is a kol chazaka re'ua. Any weak type of chazaka is not going to be effective for nichse ger, so mimela, it won't be effective for the nichse chavero over the course of 3 years, because as Rashbam says again, I'm reading outside, that you didn't do any tikkun bekarka, begufa karka. You have to do some fix to the actual property. So the Gemara now says, is this true? So Maskev la Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, the klala, who is this a rule across the board? Vare near the benichse ager kana, but benichse chavero lo kana. So near, which is plowing, which we said that, remember back before, that we didn't care. If a guy plowed my field for 3 years, I'm taking that. I'm not going to be makbid on him. He's doing me a favor. It's a big tova. That's not going to be a kinyan. But with regards to nichse ager, where it becomes a hefker, and I do a nir, I do a little chafira, that will be considered a good kinyan chazaka. So we see this is not a principle that goes across the board. And the opposite. So we have, that's a case where it works for nichse ager, but doesn't work for nichse chavero. So now the Gemara says the opposite is true. So we have a case, hare achilas peros, de benichse chavero kana, but benichse ager lo kana. If I'm meeting on your property for 3 years, you better say something to me. And if you don't, that works as a 3-year chazaka. But if a nichse ger becomes hefker, me eating the fruit does not serve as a kinyan. You need to do a maisa betikun hakarka. So clearly we see that this principle does not hold. Fine. So just interesting, Rama, look at for a second here, the machlokas in the Rashbam here. Rashbam says, "Benichse chaveru nami kana." He wants to know, what about the case of bringing the Tarnagolim into the house? He says, that case, there's really no, that's not a chazaka for ger. What's the Gemara doesn't ask that question? Nichse, Tarnagolim doesn't work for a ger. So if I bring a Tarnagolim with the property of a ger, is that going to work? Certainly not. So he says, the reason why the Gemara didn't ask this question by Tarnagolim is because they asked the better question. Fine. But then Rashbam says, no, when we say bringing the Tarnagolim and Nichse Ager, we mean you're locking it up. Not that you're bringing it, you're doing a fix, you're changing the locks, you're changing the door, in which case it is a tikkun begufa karka and would serve as a kinyan even for Nichse Ager. And the Rashbam goes on to reject it. But those are two understandings of why the Gemara doesn't ask from Hiviu Tarnagolim betoch beso. Either way, this klal of equating Nichse Ager to Nichse Chavero is incorrect. So the Gemara says, what's the difference why this ratio of the Mishnah, it does not generate a chazaka, but the Seifa does? So comes along, Ella Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Hacha B'may Askinan, what's the case here? Hacha B'chatzer Hashutvin Askinan, we're dealing with partners here. D'Bahamad K'di Lo Kapti. But Amachita Kapti, where we have partners, the guy brings his animal into my side of the yard, I don't really mind. But if he's going to start building a wall in this shared ownership, this shared property, that's going to bother me. So I've got a shared driveway. So I share the Bennett, we have a shared driveway. So we use it in a nice way. Sometimes I'll go more on their side, they'll go on my side, I don't really mind so much. But they start building a fence down the middle, that would bother me, then I have no room left for my cars anymore. So here as well, Hamada Kidilokada, Lokapti, people don't mind if you place your animal, maybe even your car, that's okay, because that's always movable. But to put a structure on, a machita, kapti, a person will be bothered by that, and that's why, that's the difference between the Mishnah. But it comes to a regular situation of not a partner. If you start bringing your dog onto my property, and we're not partners, that would bother me, and if I don't say anything, seemingly that would be a chazaka. This Mishnah is just about shutfin. So look at the Tosas on the top here. Tosas asks a question. People don't mind if you just place an animal or something on my property. That's okay. Tema. Damar hacha dehecha kapti kani. So the implication is in a place where the partners are makbid, I do care if you put my car, your car, my property. So that would serve as a chazaka. The ha'amar le'el, didn't we learn earlier, 2 weeks ago? The shutfin ein machzikin zel zeh. That partners never can create chazakas on each other. Partners can never create chazakas on each other. But this Gemara implies that if there was akbada, then they should have can create a chazaka. So he answers, "V'yesh lomar hada nachas lepalga, hada nachas lekula, lahagisa lahagisa kedamar leo." So Tosfos isn't explaining, but if you remember the Gemara there earlier, it says the situation where are they partners, or is the guy using the whole property or is he using half the property? And the Gemara says there are two ways to explain that chilek. It could be one chilek in favor that it's a when you use the whole property, that's where it is a chazaka, or it could be understood when you use the whole property, it's not a chazaka. So you have to look at the Gemara there how to explain it, but that could be the difference with the partners here versus the partners earlier. But then he says another answer is, oh, nearly, alternatively, you could suggest, the Yesh HaChalik Bein Tzadeh L'Chatzer. Maybe there's a difference between a field and a chatzer. Why? The Hacha Mairi Shebatim, that the Shebatim Eilu Psuchim L'Chatzer. The houses open up to the chatzer. The Chavin Shu Yotzev Nichnas Der Chatzer Zeh, Hecha De Kapti Ein Maniach L'Lasos Ilav De Zavni Minay. If I got a front yard here, and it comes right into my house, I will be makpid if you start putting things in my front yard, and that's going to bother me a lot, because that's where I come into my house. If it's a sada that's somewhere in the field, which I'm not seeing every single day, it doesn't bother me, then that situation, that's where we're saying that the shutfin can never create a chazaka. Okay. So Gemara now says we are three lines down on Nun Zayin Amud Beis. No, two lines down. The Gemara had an assumption, Bahamad the Kadi Lokapti. Is it really true that if you place something on my property as shutfin, it's not going to bother me? V'hatnan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us? Hashutfin shenadu hana zeh mizeh asurin likanesh lechatzer. If you and I are partners, and we take a nether that we cannot benefit each other at all, so then you're not allowed to go into the property. Now, it's true that we don't care. So right now, the Achronim trying to figure out what's going on here. So they say that when it comes to neder, there is no iser chefza. My property doesn't become an iser chefza to you. It becomes an iser gavra. It depends on what bothers me and what bothers you. So even though we took a neder, we can't get hana from each other. If the field doesn't bother me that you're using it, then there's no iser hana there. But the Gemara says that the fact that we don't allow you to come into each other's properties implies that we are makbid on people going into my, that partners going into my property. Right above we said, I don't care if you place your tanner or behem on my property. But here when it comes to making a neder, so you can't go into my property. Why not? Because I'm makbid on you using my property. We see ba'al madu kedi, there is akbada. So the Gemara ends up saying, Ella Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Hacha Beruchava Shel Achare Batim Askinan De Bahamada Kedi Lo Kapti Vamachita Kapti. We're talking about the backyards. The front yards and the chutzah we're using pretty frequently. Then it bothers me if you place your things in my... But the backyard, where they didn't use as much, they put the garbage in the backyard, it wasn't used. So then, I don't really care if you use it. Use it as you please. Just don't build any structures, no mechitas. But Ahamad Kadi, lo kapti. That's the situation here. The Gemara says, Rapapa Amar, no. Idiv idiv b'chatzir shutun. We're talking about the front yards, the chatzir in the front yards, that we are partners. Vika de kapti, vika de lo kapti. So this is what you're saying, that some people are makbid, others are not makbid. It is very subjective, but we don't know who's makbid, who's not makbid. So since it's a suffix, so mamona lakula and gavi isur lachumra. So when it comes to mamona, when it comes to creating a chazaka, that's the world of mamonas, so then we're makil that we assume that the person isn't makbid, and therefore if he's not makbid, you cannot create a cheskas gimel shanim. When it comes to the world of nidarim, where the shutvin are nodrin hana zemizeh, that's the world of isur, Hasafik Isser Lachumra, we say don't enter into the property. That's the difference according to Rav Ashi. So again, according to Rabba Bar Avuah, the difference is one is talking about a chatzir where people are makbid, and one is talking about a rechova achorei abatim, which people are not makbid. But according to Rav Papa, they're both about a chatzir, but one's in the world of mamonis, one's in the world of Isser. So then the Gemara says, Ravino says, Amar liolom lo kapti, really people are not makbid if you place your animals in my field. V'hamani, this is the Ashita of Rabbi Eliezer. He detanya Rabbi Eliezer, Omer afilu viter aser b'modahana. Rabbi Eliezer is the famous Ashita. We have several places in Shas that he's not, he's makbid. Even if the guy's mevata, the guy says, they made a hana from each other, neder from each other, you can't get enough. I don't care that you use the property. Even being mevata, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is still an iser. It sounds just from pashtus that Rabbi Eliezer thinks that neder is not an iser gavra. It doesn't depend on my subjectivity. Depends if the claim is iser chefta. This property is also regardless of what my input is, and therefore that's why it's aser. The Gemara that says no nadru zebezez aser. But in general, the Gemara here is not working within the world of Rabbi Eliezer, and since shutvin are not makpid on each other, hamad b'chdi is not going to create a chazaka. Okay, there's another Tosus to look at here. Look at Tosus, Dibur Maskil Ravina Amar Liolum Lokapti. People are not really makbid. Mash Mahacha, it sounds like from here, the Chuliyama Kapti Inche Adrius Zaregel, the Afilu Ravina Lokamar Labashutvin. Ravina says that only partners are not makbid on each other. If you have a shared driveway, we're okay, people using the property. But if you're not Shutvin, that sounds like everybody would be makbid of trespassing. That's what the Tosus learns from this Gemara. So the Tema, there's a problem. Because Tanan, the mission in Parakama de Megillah, Daf Ches tells us, Ein bein hamoder ana mechavero, lemoder heimanu, Michael, the guy makes a nether that you can't get anything from me. Or the guy just says you can't get anything that related to food. What's the only nafkamina, says the mission, this is one of the Ein Bains, Eladrisas regel, the kalim, shein osin behem ochel nefesh. So the Gemara says, if I take a nether from you that you can't have any food from me, so you're still allowed to walk my property. Only if I take a general nether, that you can't get any enough from me, that's when the drisas regel would be aser. And parach b'gemar, the Gemara asks her, drisas regel, halo kapti. I don't care if you walk in and trespass, it doesn't bother me. So the Gemara in Megillah clearly assumes that drisas regel is permitted, according to all opinions, while this Gemara implies that drisas regel is aser. The Ravina only permits drisas regel with shutvin, who have what to do with each other as partners. But non-partners, drisas regel would be aser, according to the Gemara, in Baba Basra. So answers Tosos Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam, the Hasa Mashmile the Gemara, the Masnis and Iri Bibika de Lokapti. That's somewhere Bika, an open area, valley of some sort, a big area of fields where people are not makbid on a Drisas Rego. But here, we're talking about a diba chatzir. If we're talking about a chatzir, my own personal property, in my dal, my rishus ayachid, that would be considered a situation where people are makbid. Yeah, in the bikkah, is we all have fields out in the bikkah. It's my rishus ayachid there. But since it's a field and all the farmers are walking around to their different acres of farm, that doesn't bother me. But in my chatzir, where I do personal things, that's where it's makbid. So that's the difference between the chatzir and the bikkah, whether the juice is regel, people are makbid on or not makbid on, according to Tosfos. Okay, the Gemara now says, halfway down the Amud here, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Bana, B'chol ha-shutvin ma'akvin zedzeh, chutz minakfisa. So the shutvin are allowed to ma'akiv. If you're doing something on the property which you want to do and I don't want you to do, I can stop you from doing that, with the one exception of chutz minakfisa, with the exception of doing laundry in the property, which you are allowed to do against my will, Shane Darchan shall benos yisrael his bazos al kvisa. Because it's disgraceful for a woman to have to go down to the river out in the public and have to do laundry. And rather, she should do it in the property. Now, even though the property is owned by Shutvin, better for it to do it only in front of two families as opposed to doing it in front of all the people going out in the shuk. Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk, V'otim einava me'ros bira. A person should close their eyes from seeing anything evil or seeing anything bad. And the Rashbam explains here that the fee, if you go around six, seven wide lines down the Rashbam, the fee she'ein darchan l'chulil his bazos she'tzrichos la'amod sham yichefos legalos shuk la'amod benar. They take off their shoes to go into the water and they have to show some of their legs. So it's inappropriate for them to be there. It's a disgrace for them and it's also for the men to look. So therefore, that's something they are able to force on their partner to be able to do the laundry in the actual chatzar. And Amar Bichir Ba'ava, Abba Zeh She'ein Mistaka B'Nashim Bisha Shemodes Al Kvisa. So this pasuk of Otem Einav Meros Bira is a person referring to who doesn't look at a woman when she's doing the laundry at the water. That's what it's referring to. Heichidami, the Gemara wants to know, what's the case here? What's the situation where the man is not looking at the woman? If there's another way to go to avoid going to the river, you know, now is when all the women go down to the river to do laundry. And then he could have went another way, but instead he's wanted to go down Dafka that way to close his eyes. So then it's a Rasha. Who? He's a Rasha. Why is he a Rasha? Because if you look at the Rashbam, he says, Afa Pisha Otum Einav, even though he closes his eyes, Shilohaya lo lekariv elalia harchik minaveira. He shouldn't have gotten himself so close. Even though he didn't violate his stakless, he shouldn't have brought himself into such a situation. That's called a Rasha. Fine. So it can't be where there's another way to go. Now, idaleka derech achrisa, if there is no other way, the only way to get from his house to work, let's say, is to go by where these women are, or where these billboards are, whatever inappropriate is, you have no choice. That's called honesty. That's honest. He's not at fault. So the Gemara says, liolam, you're right. Liolam deleka derech achrina. Really, there is no other way. The only way to get to work is through this way where you're going to see inappropriate things. A person still has to, of course, have self-control and close his eyes and look the other way to mekayim the pasuk of otzim einav miros bira. And because of this Indian, of course, of the Isser Stakless, so then a person is able to force their partner to allow me to do laundry, the kvisa, in the Chatzar Shutvin. But every other type of melacha, if he doesn't like it being done in his property, he could kick the partner out, do that melacha elsewhere. Go grill in some other place, but don't grill in our shared property. Okay. Mar now says, Boy, minei Rabbi Yochanan, mi Rabbi Bana, chalok shel tam chacham keitzad. What is the chalak? What's considered the cloak of the Talmud Chacham? So ketad, how is it? Kol she'ein b'saro nira mitachta. It has to be long enough where you do not see any flesh, any skin below. And what the Rashbam says is that you don't see him walking barefoot. The post can talk about that we don't walk barefoot nowadays. No one walks barefoot. But either way, assuming that in the times of the Gemara they walk barefoot, so it has to be long enough, mamash, where it goes down to the ground, where it's dragging, so you don't see them walking barefoot. That's the chalak of a Talmud Chacham. And what about talus shel Talmud Chacham? What's that going to be? What's their talus looking like? So, ketad kol she'ein chalak nira mitachtav tefach. It's a coat that goes over the chalak, where it's long enough where you only see a less than a tefach of the chalak below. So imagine that there's a rope. So the rope goes down to the ground dragging. Then the guy wears a coat. That coat has to go down, but does not have to touch the ground. You can only leave, though, around the tefach or less of the chalak showing, that robe showing below the talus. So what about a shulchan shel Talmud Chacham? How does this work? Ketzad. So shnei shlishi gedil v'shlish gali. So two-thirds is going to be covered with the food, and one-third is going to be exposed. V'alava, karosava, the yarek, and all the plates and pots are going to be in that area. And so look at Rashbam. There's a machlokas how to understand that how the two-thirds, one-third split works. Rashbam says, Shnei shlishi rochav ha-shulchan, two-thirds of the width of the table, muchusa should be covered b'mapa, mitad ha-ochlin, l'kaneh ha-spiyam. So wherever the people are eating, so there should be the tablecloth there to clean their mouths as a napkin as well. And v'lasei saleh as a pasta, place the bread on top of that tablecloth. But shlish ha-chiton nigula, the third, imagine there's like one long table, we're all eating on the same side of the table here. So this two-thirds is the tablecloth, we're cleaning our mouths. And this area is exposed, where what's going on that third that's exposed. That's la'niach alav karos v'kosos shelo yichalkalu ha-mape v'yisbazu ha-ochlim. So the cups and the plates are being placed, so that shouldn't get the tablecloths dirty. That's how it was according to the Rashbam. But v'istam afarshi, others say it's a little bit differently. That shlish galai be'emsa shnei shlishi gadil. No, the center part was where it was exposed, but the outer end, where the one-third on each side, is going to be where the tablecloth is. And dehainu mapa mibechutz mibefnim kol saviv hashulchan ve'emtziyasu megulav. The center is going to be open. So that was different machlokas how it was. Now, they explain that the reason why it's like this is because since the shulchan is doma le'mizbeach, the table of the Talmud Chacham is like a mizbeach, and so we wanted to make sure that the coin, it's not entirely true, but the coin doesn't get dirty from the mizbeach. So too, the Talmud Chacham shouldn't get dirty from while eating. So you have to separate the tablecloth and the food. I honestly don't really get that, because the Gemara does say that the Kohanim would walk like knee deep in blood. Right. And it was like supposed to be a kibbutz to be all dirty and the blood splattering all over the place and the ashes and the so I'm not sure. But either way, they connect it somehow to the Mizbeach. Fine, Vayitcha. The Gemara says, the tabaso mibuchutz. So remember, they had these small little tables, so there's like a little ring. I'm imagining this ring is something they would hang it up on the wall or something. So a little ring. And the question is, that ring should go on the outside, not where the guy's sitting, but on the opposite end of where he's sitting. But v'hatanya tabaso mibifnim. But doesn't the Brisa say that the ring should be on the inside, close to where the person is sitting? So the Gemara says, lokashya hadika yanuka adalek yanuka. Depends if there's a child in the house. If there's a child in the house, and then he might take the ring and knock the table, shake the table. So keep the ring on the inside so it doesn't serve as an obstacle for the kid running around the house. In a place where there are no children, so then you can leave the corner, the ring on the outside. There's no concern of anybody coming to knock over the ring and then knocking over the table. Ibai same. Alternatively, we could suggest hava hadaleki yanuka. There is no child in the house. Lokasha, still there is no stira hadika shama hadaleka shama. If there's a waiter, in the house, so he might knock that ring and knock over the table. So then you move the ring to the inside. But in a place where there is no waiter and there is no concern, that's where the tabas could be on the outside.
What's the function of this ring?
I think, I don't know, I think it's to like, I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm guessing to like hang the table up on a hook. Maybe they had small tables, each person. So they probably had to store it somewhere. So I'm guessing it was to hang it somewhere, but I don't know. Does he? Where did he say, where is it? Okay, yeah, there you go, excellent. It was there to hang. So they hanged it on a, they hung it on a area, on the wall, probably just to get it out of the way. Yeah, it was a small table. So then the Gemara says, Yivayisema, Havahadika Shama, maybe both cases where there is a waiter, Velokasha, Habimama, Habalila. If it's daytime where you could see where he's walking, so you could have the tabas on the outside, he'll walk around it. But it's Belila, where there is not as much light, there's only candles, so then there's a concern he might trip on it, so then the ring should be on the inside. So what about Shalom Aretz? What's Amaretz? What's his table going to look like? So the Gemara says, Dome Lemadura. It's like a big bonfire. The Kaderis Makivos also. It's full of different pots and pans. It's a mess. It's one big mess. Fine. And then Mita Shatam Nachacham. What's that like, Ketzad? The Gemara says Kol Shein Tachde Elasandolim Bimosachama Umenolim Bimosachsham. Very simple. All he has below the bed is sandals for the summer and your rain shoes for the winter. And that's it. That's a simplicity of a Talmud Chacham. And Vishal Amaretz Domel Otzer Balum. But it comes to Talmud Chacham, it's just everything's thrown under the bed. Everything. All the shoes, clothing, who knows what. That's thrown underneath the bed. It's one big mess. The Rashbam says here, Kol Shein Tachdev De Amrinan Bepsachem Ochlen Tachas Amita Afilu Mechupen Bekli Barzel Rach Ra Shor Alem. food underneath the bed, something that we all violated going to camp. You place food underneath the bed, even if it's covered, there's going to be ruach ra. We'll explain that, explains a lot what goes on in camp. There's ruach ra, that's sharalem. That's the usher to, not usher to do, but it's certainly not advisable to do based on the Gemara Pesachim. But all Talmud Chacham has below his bed is these two pairs of shoes, those for the summer and those for the winter. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow's daf is a fascinating gata about finding Avram Avinu.